Sunday, the 29th of January, 2023, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Journey with Matthew. Sermon title, Follow Me. Bible reading, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 25. Talk by Bob Crowther.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to the end of the chapter. The calling of the first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus heals the sick. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everybody. We're continuing our sermon series for the new year, where we journey through Matthew's Gospel, and today's talk is titled, Follow Me, Follow Me. Now, invariably, when Jesus asks someone to change their lives, he says to them, follow me. Simon, Peter and Andrew, James and John in our reading today, follow me. The man who wanted to bury his father first, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Matthew, the tax collector, follow me. The rich young man, sell all your possessions and follow me. This is Jesus' key instruction throughout the Gospels. And he gives many examples through parables, his preaching, his actions of how we can be reconciled with our Creator. He shows us how we're expected to live with each other. How kindness to our neighbours is on a par with loving that Creator, our Heavenly Father. He explains how people had become so tied up in the old law that it was detracting from the true meaning of words that were there to encourage an active relationship with God. How he had come to fulfill what had been written about him in the past. How he'd come to bring us what he refers to in John 10:10 as life to the full. But all of these things that he taught were underpinned with one simple instruction. Follow me. And whilst these words of Jesus to follow him are both a command and an offer, those to whom it is directed, which is everyone, then have a choice. To follow or to not follow. That's it. We either choose to accept Jesus' offer and follow him, or we don't. A bit like Yoda says in Star Wars, there is no try, only do or do not. We choose to follow Jesus, or we choose not to. So today, I'd just like to look at two key questions that stand out to me from this passage. Firstly, what does it actually mean to follow Jesus? And secondly, why would people choose not to follow Jesus? So we'll start with the first question. What does it mean to follow Jesus? When we accept Jesus' offer to follow him, what do we need to do? What actions do we need to take? How do we need to change our lives? And it must surely be important for us to understand this if we're to say that we are followers of Jesus. Well, let me start by telling you what being a follower of Jesus is not. It's not just spending a couple of hours at church on a Sunday or watching the stream online. Yes, church is a significant part of our journey with Christ. But what we do on a Sunday morning is just a part of being a Christian. We are expected to live a life that 24/7, 365 days a year, reflects an active relationship with Jesus and with other Christians that encourages us to go to church and enjoy a church family relationship. But there is so much more to following Jesus than worshipping him on a Sunday morning. It's not just believing in God and Jesus. James writes this in chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? James is telling us that even the demons believe in who Jesus is, but true followers of Christ show themselves to be so through their works and how they live their lives. Despite being encouraged to read our Bibles daily, following Jesus isn't just reading the New Testament on a regular basis and marvelling at what a thoroughly good bloke he appears to be, agreeing with most of what he says, and even understanding the true meaning of some of the more complex parables. Following Jesus is so much more than having a regular good read. It's understanding what we've read and then putting it into practice. John writes in chapter 12, verse 42, "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man rather than the glory that comes from God." These authorities believed in Jesus, but weren't prepared to follow him because how that might impact on their life on earth. John's telling us that followers of Jesus will put their faith in him before any earthly thing. And living a life that walks with Jesus might even result in people perceiving us differently, possibly at the cost to some of our relationships. When we step forward to follow someone, we walk away from something else. We leave things behind. In our reading, Simon, Peter, Andrew, James and John were all fishermen. And when they chose to follow Jesus, they left behind their fishing business. Matthew left behind a lucrative tax collecting business. And when we choose to follow Jesus, we'll have to leave something behind because there will always be something in our lives that doesn't fit in with the life of a follower of Jesus. We have to leave behind our sin. John writes in chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, then God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from our unrighteousness. And when we confess that sin to God, when we repent and say we're sorry for our past transgressions because of Jesus' sacrifice and by God's grace, we are saved. Our sins are forgiven. The price of those sins has been paid through Jesus' death on the cross, and we're reunited with God. But that is the start of the journey, not the end. Following Jesus is a very individual experience. If you've lived a life of violence and theft and as a criminal, then your journey to follow Jesus will be very different from someone who hasn't led a life of crime. He's just generally seen as a really good person. But by our very nature, we will each have lived a life of sin. And no matter what our personal situation, there's going to be something that we have to change in our lives, something that we have to leave behind, something that we know that a child of Christ should not be doing. Following Jesus means spending more time with him, and that's something we should really want to do, something we should truly feel benefit from. But it might mean having to change the structure of our days, finding time to spend with Jesus when previously we would have been, what? Reading a book on the train? Stuck in traffic when you're driving to work? Reading the paper over breakfast? Catching up on Facebook, perhaps? Having a cup of tea and a biscuit after dropping the kids off at school? It's going to need discipline to start spending time with Jesus. But once you find the time, it becomes routine and it becomes a great benefit to you. But it's not just about spending time with him. I'd say the majority of life spent following Jesus is doing what he would want you to do in whatever situation you find yourself in. In those 50-50 moments when you have a choice to either do or do not. Making that right decision, even if it's an inconvenience to you, so that you can show Jesus' love through your actions. Because faith without deeds is dead. When I spoke at the carol service, I referred to the recent census that we've had, and the 48% of people in the UK who ticked the box to say that they were Christian. But following Jesus is more than just ticking a box. It's living a new life that mirrors as best we can the life that Jesus lived when he walked this world amongst his children. And it certainly means following his commands as to how we should live our lives today. And by turning to Jesus, by following him, we acknowledge his sacrifice and majesty, and we are assured of our seat by Jesus' side for eternity. So with this great news of spending eternity in paradise, why would people choose not to follow Jesus during their comparatively minuscule time here on earth? Generally speaking, there are three attitudes to the existence of God. Atheist, where you believe there is no God. Agnostic, where you're not really sure either way. And then a believer, someone who believes there is a superior being, generally referred to as God. Now, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam are known collectively as the Abrahamic faiths. They all stem from the same source. And the majority of people worldwide who follow a religion will follow one of the Abrahamic faiths. Now, I'm not going to spend any time on the other two, but let's focus specifically on Christianity. And ask ourselves the question why people who know or have heard of Jesus make a decision not to follow him. I suggest one of the key reasons is they don't truly understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Many non-Christians will have a preconception of what Jesus, of what Christians will be like. They're going to be meek, mild-mannered, a bit wet, something of a doormat, probably teetotal. Desperately boring to be stuck within a party, always collecting money for some worthy cause. And that's how they're usually portrayed on TV, or otherwise the complete opposite, and they're the adulterous murderer who turns up in Midsummer. When I was working in a bank, I didn't hide my faith, but I just didn't bang on about it all the time. And most people only found out that I was a Christian by it coming up in the course of a conversation. Quite often we were chatting about our weekends and what we got up to, and I would mention, Oh, yeah, yeah. Went to church on Sunday morning, and invariably they went, yeah, right. Well, they thought I was joking. They couldn't believe initially that I was a churchgoer, that I was a Christian, because I didn't fit their preconceived profile of a Christian. I enjoyed a good joke, usually at someone else's expense. That hasn't changed very much. Ask Pauline. I played competitive sport to a pretty good standard, and I enjoyed a drink with my mates. Well, surely that's not the lifestyle of a Christian, they thought. But when our conversation continued and I confirmed I was a Christian who had attended church on that Sunday, I could see a change in people's faces, the way they looked at me. And I could see them thinking back to times where I'd walked a life at work that showed I was a Christian. And someone told me later they now understood why people wanted to work for me, because I was considered to be a fair boss. Why I never stabbed colleagues in the back to further my career. Why I never gossiped about work, and why I offered help when others were struggling despite it being of no obvious benefit to me. I just like to think that without talking about my faith, I'd showed my faith through my actions. And I believe that this erroneous preconception is perhaps the key reason why people might choose not to follow Jesus, or even choose not to find out more about a life with Jesus, because they don't want to turn into one of them. Oh, I like a drink, I like my sport, I like my Sunday mornings in bed. I'm not woolly enough to be a Christian. I like my life well enough that I don't want to change it. And I can say that with confidence, because I have been a bit guilty of that myself in the past. Blaise Pascal, the 17th century French philosopher, once said this: "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person, and it can never be filled by any created thing. It can only be filled by God, made known through Jesus Christ." Now, I had a church upbringing, and I even sang in the church choir, and I never had any doubt whatsoever that God existed. I could look at the beauty of creation and just know this was no biological accident. This was the work of a master creator. But in my youth, I didn't really feel that way about Jesus. And I wondered what that made me. So I did some investigation in my late teens into what someone would be if they believed in God but not Jesus. And the answer was Jewish. Now, I was pretty sure I wasn't Jewish, so I decided to look into this person of Jesus. And I wasn't even sure at that stage that a person called Jesus even existed. I soon find out that not only did he exist, there's more written about Jesus the person than there was about Julius Caesar. And I'm pretty sure everybody believes he existed. And the more I looked into Jesus the person, the more research I did on a practical level, the more I felt his call to start a relationship with me on a spiritual level. Now, I remember that what actually convinced me on a practical level was that 11 of the disciples suffered pretty horrible deaths for refusing to say anything other than they believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Surely not even one of them would have died a grisly death for refusing to deny a lie. But all 11 of them? And then on a spiritual level, I felt Jesus reach out to me. I felt he would fill a hole that was in my life. And I was later confirmed into the Christian family. But I had to make a decision to find out more about Jesus. And I had to be prepared to accept that if I chose to follow him, then I would have to leave some things behind. Some things in my life, not many, but some, would have to go. and be replaced by time spent with my new friend, Jesus. Choosing to follow Jesus means acknowledging that some things in your life will have to change. Because the biggest challenge that we face when we come to the time to make that decision is this. Am I ready to move away from a life that centers around me and change my life to one that revolves around Jesus? Because that's the real step that we have to take when we choose to follow Jesus. And it's not one that everyone is prepared to take. Many of you will already have made that decision, will have left things behind you when you made that choice. Some of you might have just taken those first steps towards Jesus, but are reluctant to leave something or things behind you. Well, I can only tell you this. As you step forward to follow Jesus, he will support you to leave those things behind. And the further you leave those things behind, the closer you'll get to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the hand that he reaches out to each of your children, offering a firm grip of love to bring each of us back into your family. We thank you that through his dying on the cross and through your grace, the price of our past sins has been paid. But you know our struggles in walking a life that follows in Jesus' footsteps, the trials we go through, the temptations that we face, the pull to return to our past life before we knew Jesus. So, Father, we pray for the strength, courage, and wisdom to live a life that reflects our journey as followers of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask this in his name. Amen.